And that makes me thank God for Calvary even more. Because, you know, you go to, if they think the word blood is nasty, what if they had to sacrifice animals and take that blood and use it? I say thank God for Calvary tonight. Amen. Praise God. It's good to see each one of you here. Hope and trust that you've had a good week. And the Lord's blessed us in being back in His house. I would like to just let you know Renee's heart shock went good today. Just talked to her before I got here. And they had to stop her heart or shock it and put it out of AFib back in the regular normal rhythm. And she said she would be here tonight, but her car is still in the shop, and she didn't have no way, and she's still weak. So she said, ask church to pray for her, and I said, I'll sure tell them. And then Brother Larry, I stopped by his house, been over there for about an hour, and he's not doing well. And he's hurting so bad. He got in the bed last night and could not get up. He's just hurting so bad. They ended up having to take out C2, C3, put a rod and two shims in his neck to hold it up, and then take T1, I believe he told me now, it might have been T2 vertebrae, and shave it to where it was mashing on the nerve. So they done all that, and they had to move his trach, his vocal cords, all of that over to the side to go in through the front and do that surgery. So he's cut. I guess it was about that long. He showed me the incision right here. And he said, just tell church. I had to sit right beside of him. He don't have no voice right now. And I thought, man, listen to him sing and then listen to him talk now. You know, that's a heartbreaker. But God's still in control. Let's lift him up to God tonight in prayer. And then, Lord, all the ones we've got on vacation, they'll be back with us Sunday, but pray that God will give them traveling grace to get home safely. I see Wes and Lisa's down at Ocean Lakes, I believe it is. Penny and Tommy's at Oak Isle. And who else was it? There was somebody else on vacation. They're in the mountains, that's right. Travis and Christy, they're all up in the mountains, in the hills of West Virginia, I believe he told me. So let's remember all of those that's out tonight, all right? And then, of course, good to see these two ladies sitting right back here on my left. I miss them when they ain't sitting there over here. Good to see them back, getting stronger. Got rid of that old weakness they had and pain that they had. And we serve a great big God tonight, and He's bigger than any pain that you can have. Amen. But good to see them back. Any other outspoken prayer requests? Good to see Miss Barbara and her other half here tonight. I didn't say better either, did I?
Sarah Stacy today, she was going to the doctor to get some information. I think she's been approved to have that valve put in, I believe what she said.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get it worked out and lined up.
Okay, good deal.
Remember her.
All right, sure will. Good. Oh, really? So Judy. And yeah.
He passed away yesterday.
Did he?
Yeah, he took himself off dialysis 8 weeks
yep.
ago.
Yep.
Was supposed to come tomorrow.
Yep.
To try to help him out. They sent his wife home. She'd been staying there with the nursing home all day, and she would give out. She said, they told her, just go home and rest and come back. She went home before he passed and rested a little bit, and I think Kathy said she was doing laundry or doing something, and she was coming down the stairs and she fell. She broke her wrist and the rib, and
my
he said
goodness.
She looked like she'd been in a
carried her to the hospital, and she didn't know that her husband had passed till she got home.
Wow.
Somebody told her. She was, Kathy said she was upset.
And he had been on dialysis, what, how long, 20 years?
Pretty good while. He's had been battling Mercer, too, for a long time. Like Jimmy said, ever since he retired, his health just seemed like it just faded, you know.
But, wow.
We need to remember.
Yeah.
Remember Nancy.
Yeah. Remember Nancy. All right. Any others? All right. Let's all gather around the altar and call these people out to God in prayer tonight. That's what this altar's for, to offer up people and praises to God.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we count it an honor and a privilege, Lord, just to be able to talk to a God that's alive. Lord, we're thankful tonight, Lord, that we serve a God that can hear and answer prayers. And for, Lord, all of those people that's been called out tonight on our prayer list, Lord, would you please go over wherever they may be. Lord, that you would touch their body, Lord, and you'd heal them according to thy precious will. Lord, if it's not your will to heal them, Lord, give them the grace they need. Lord, give them mercy and just ease their pain. God, I pray that you'd be with each one on vacation. Lord, I pray that you would just bless each and every one of them. Lord, give them traveling grace. Lord, to get to their destination and back home safely. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bless this church. Thank you, Lord, that we had another soul saved Sunday. Lord, we praise you.
Yes.
Right now, Lord, we lift our hands up to you.
Yes.
And say thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Lord, what you're going to do here at our church. Lord, I don't want to be complacent. I'm not happy. I want to keep moving. God, I pray that you would give each one around this altar tonight the drive, the want to in order to go to. Lord, help us to have a burdened heart to see our church grow, to go forward for the glory of God, to see more souls saved, backsliders proclaimed. Lord, bless the service tonight. Lord, I pray that you would hide me behind an old rugged cross. Lord, when they look up, they wouldn't see me, but they'd see thee. They wouldn't hear me, they'd hear thee. Lord, I can't do it by myself. I'd make a mess of it. Move me out of the way tonight and allow the big preacher to preach. Lord, allow the Holy Spirit of God just to come down and meet with us in an unusual and mighty way. God, if there's one lost here tonight, you'd save them. If there's one backslidden, proclaim them. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you.
Thank you.
If you have your Bibles, if you would, the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. The book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. As I was thinking this week, you know, the four or five souls that's been saved here in the last 2 months, I thought, you know, there's a joy in being born again. We ought to be shouting the victory around here. Brother Larry said a while ago, he said, Pastor, he said, what's happened in our church in the last 2 months ain't happened in 10 years in some churches. Now you think about that. In 10 years. And I thought, man, you know, we ought to be overjoyed in our hearts that people are getting saved. That we've got 6 people to baptize coming up in September. And not only for others, but they ought to be a joy in our heart tonight, knowing that when we die, we're going to heaven. That ought to just make you shout tonight, knowing the joy of being born again. Look with me, if you will, at 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 17. The Bible says this, and if ye call on the Lord, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, passeth the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by traditions from your fathers. Boy, but. With the precious blood of Christ. That ought to make a dried up Methodist shout right there. With the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Praise God. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word tonight. Lord, I just ask that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, that we could just grab a hold tonight of how blessed we are to be born again. God, I pray that you'd help us to grab a hold of this thought. Lord, we ought to be happy that we're going to heaven one of these days. Bless, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I thought being born again, a lot of people don't understand that, so I broke it down just a little bit for us tonight. I know everybody here understands what being born again is. Nicodemus didn't understand that. He asked Jesus, he said, what must I do, enter into my mother's womb a second time? He didn't understand what being born again means. The first thing I thought about being born again is, number one, being saved. And you say, what does that mean, preacher? I'm saved from hell to heaven. I'm tickled to death tonight to be born again and saved from hell. Amen. I don't have to worry about going to hell. You say, why don't you have to worry about it, preacher? Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and my name has been settled in heaven. I've been born again. I've been saved by the marvelous shed blood of Jesus Christ. Number two, not only does being born again mean saved, but listen to this. It also means delivered. Boy, I like that word. I like that word. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Well, you know, I think about Lazarus. Y'all remember when Mary and Martha and Jesus met at the grave. Y'all know that story real well. And how he was laying in there, and the body, she already says he stinks, right? That's what he said. But being delivered, I thought, you know, when Jesus was buried and Lazarus was buried, the same culture they had was to take linen cloth and wrap the body tight, right? And that's the way they done. They mummified the body, so to speak. And then they would take spices and ointments, if you will, perfumes, and just pour all over the grave clothes there. But when Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave, he didn't only call him out of the grave, but he delivered him from the bondage of the grave clothes. And the day you and I got saved, when Jesus called us out one day, how many remember the day that you got called out, amen? And then all of the sudden, he took the grave clothes of sin off of you and delivered you from all of the sin that had you bound and was weighing you down toward a place called hell. He delivered you that day. Boy, I tell you what, some of you better grab a hold of this. Not only does it mean that you've been saved, delivered, but I like this one, preserved. You know, I remember we was talking about this Monday out here in the fellowship hall. Boy, if you missed it, you missed it. I'm talking, we had boiled okra. Amen. Huh? Yeah, I did. I offered it now. All them men over there said, I ain't eating that. Well, she cooked me a big old, well, it was about that deep. But, and she fried me up some, or made like a squash casserole or something like that. And then we had two big old tubs of fried taters, corn, fresh corn. I don't know what all was on that table, but it was pretty good, amen. When I left here, I ain't eating nothing else hardly. I can guarantee you that. I ate a little bit lunch today, but I didn't eat a whole lot. But I thought, you know, we was talking about preserving things. And salt is one of the best preservers that you can find. And Jesus told his disciples, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Is that not right? To be trodden down under the foot of men. It's good for nothing. When we used to kill a hog and hang it up out there, and they'd get all, they'd boil it, I think. I'm trying to remember how all that went, and then skin it, and then quarter it up and put it in the salt box. Big old ham in the salt box. How many remember that? Boy, you'd get that old ham, put it in that salt box, and cover it all up. How many know many years later we went back and that salt was still in the box? It might still be there. I don't know. But it preserved that meat. And what it did was, I guess, purify it. The day you got saved, the day you was born again, Jesus took what he called, instead of salt, his blood. And he took it and washed us and cleaned us up from head to toe. Amen. He didn't miss a spot either. I mean, the Bible says that we was washed as white as snow. Amen. And he took that old blood and that preserved us. The Bible says that the moment we asked Jesus in our heart and life, it wasn't a day later, a week later, a year later, but the very moment we asked Jesus in our heart and life, he came and sealed us with the Holy Ghost power and preserves our soul. So one of these days when the trumpet sounds, we going home. That's preserving. That's being born again. Amen. I'll get to the message in a minute. Don't fret. But now I want to give you five things. It won't take me very long. If you get hungry, there might be something on the floor out here. I don't know where we dropped. We was eating so sloppy and fast. It just, you know how it is. But five important elements in our life. I want you to think about these five things. First of all, I want you to think about our today. Look with me at Lamentations. Now that's, you don't hear much out of Lamentations. I got to looking at this verse, verse 22. Look what this verse says. It says, it is of the Lord's mercy. I like that start, amen? That we are not consumed. You know why? Because we're preserved. We're sealed, amen? It says, because his compassions fail not. Look at the next verse. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now let me tell you something tonight. There's people around us that can't see God's greatness. But if you get up and start your day out with God, you're going to walk with God, you're going to sleep with God, you're going to eat with God, and you're going to soon find out his faithfulness is always there. Look at the next verse. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait on him. To the soul that seeketh him. That's some good verses in Lamentation, ain't it? Can I say something to you tonight? Our today, each day, is a gift from God. How many realize that? You know what? I've woke up some mornings hurting. How many know what I'm talking about? Where you couldn't hardly get out of bed. I got up one morning, my gout flared up at night. And I got up and put pressure on that foot. About make you sick to your stomach, amen? I mean, it hurts. If you ain't got it, ain't never had it, you better be praising God. But I got to thinking, you know, maybe my foot is hurting. But I still got breath in my body. The old heart is still beating. I thank God every day of my life for each day that I get up out of bed, that old alarm clock, we dread hearing all the time. It starts going off. I dread it when it goes off. I go over there and hit it. The next thing I say is, thank you, Lord, for waking me up. You see, it's our today. Each day is a gift of God. Each new day is an adventure with God. Because every day you start thinking about this. If it's the same thing, there's no difference in each day. Right? I don't like the same thing. I go to work sometimes and, you know, maybe the phone will ring and maybe one person or two people might walk in my office and then you just been bored out of your mind, you know. But then there's other days that you can't push. I type like this. I ain't one of these, amen. I ain't one of them. But I get it done, amen. But I think, man, is this line not going to stop? But as they're coming in, I look at my clock. Man, it's 5 o'clock. What a blessing. What a blessing God let me see another day. And I get to thinking, you know, it makes it even more superior or a whole lot better, because if I don't make it through the day, bless God, when I close my eyes here, I'm going to wake up in paradise. Amen? You say, how do you know? Because I've been born again. I've been saved. I've been delivered. I've been preserved. I'm sealed with the Holy Ghost. And thank God that I made it through the day, our day. Number two, our yesterday. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. So, the elements in our life, if we just start thinking about today, think about yesterday. Look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3. Know ye that so many of us were baptized into Jesus, Christ were baptized into his death. Look at the next verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. Now watch, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in what? Newness of life. Now I read that to tell you this. I think about yesterday. I want y'all to listen to me closely. What happened yesterday, I can't change. Are you hearing me? I can't change what happened yesterday. I can't go back in my life and change my past. Even though I'd love to, amen? I would love to change some things in my past, but I can't. Our yesterday is gone, but I think each day my past sins need not to be feared no more. Now, are you hearing me? You say, why, preacher? God has buried our sins. Now, I had to call Daddy and tell him this. I was sitting there at my desk. And you know, when the Lord speaks, I have a bad habit when at work people say, you got a pen? I say, I'm a salesman. That means I always got a pen. You know, because if you want something, I'm going to write it down. Amen? Well, same thing goes with a good Christian or a preacher. God gives you something, you need to pen it down. Right then. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, when I die, am I going to bury myself, or is somebody else going to lower me down in the grave? Somebody else. There's going to be six men carrying my casket. Not unless rapture takes place first, praise God. Then I can cheat the undertaker, amen. But as they walk down the aisle, there's going to be six of them, three on each side. And they're going to put me in the hearse. I can't put myself in the hearse, right? Everybody stay with me. They're going to get to the graveside, and those same six men are going to pick me up, walk to the grave, and they're going to set me on this vault that's on a crank. Somebody's going to lower my body down in the grave, amen? I can't bury myself. So I'm here to tell you, folks, you can't bury your own sin. That's already been taken care of on top of Calvary's hill. I don't care how good you are, how bad you are, God can forgive you of your sin. He can cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and He can take those sin and scatter them as far as the east is to the west and never be remembered no more. And praise God, you won't have to bury those sin. They've forgotten and they've done away with forever and ever. Amen. Don't try to go back in your past and change that stuff. It's been forgiven, and praise God, it's been forgotten by the one who said, I'll forgive. Thank God. I think about yesterday. What I could have changed yesterday. Well, there ain't nothing I can do about it today. What I could have changed yesterday. Amen. I can't change that. But happy in knowing I'm born again, I can do something about tomorrow. Huh? You see, our yesterday, our today, our yesterday. And then look with me if Deuteronomy chapter 31. Y'all notice I've been in the Old Testament a little bit. I like them too. Old Testament is called Old Testament, but it's still good news to us today. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 8. Now this verse here, we're going to break it down a little bit. We're going to dissect it like we used to do frogs in science class, all right? We're going to break this down just a little bit. And you know what? When you start breaking something down, you learn what's inside of it. Amen? Watch this now. Look with me at verse 8. The Bible says, and the Lord, watch this, He it is that doth go before thee. Are you hearing me? He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I want to break this down. First of all, look back, if you will, at the very start of it, Randy. It says, go before thee. You see that? Now, what does that mean? I want to give you five divine things here. Number one, He goes before thee. I call that divine lookout. He looks out for us. When nobody else will, God looks out for you. You know, I've often said this, nobody else loves me, I know Jesus does. Amen. It don't matter what anybody talk, how they talk about me, what they say about me. It don't matter to me a bit in this world. Just keep your mouth off my family and love God. Amen. That's the way I see it. But I see God's always, the Bible says this, and the Lord, watch what it says. He it is that goeth, doth go before thee. It's divine look out. He's always watching out for us. I think back over my life many times. Yesterday I was on my way home and they're on 200 right there at Deeds Road. A wreck, right? Happened four or five cars in front of me. A car thought they could turn left and beat the oncoming traffic. This guy was running probably 50 miles an hour, 55 when he hit. And I think, you know, that could have been somebody pulling out in front of me. You know? And I had my trailer behind me. I had a sickle bar mower. I had nine rolls of B-wrap, which weigh almost 500 pounds a piece, all on my trailer. And you can't stop that on a dime. And I got to thinking, thank you, Lord. Everybody that was involved in the wreck was out walking around. And then yesterday I seen where this lunatic come through Monroe, had robbed a bank with youngins in the car, been chased by the police, and wrecked right in front of the mall, and it happened about 2 minutes before I got there. You tell me God ain't good? God's good all the time. The Bible says that He is the go-to. He looks out for us. Look at the rest of that verse. Not only does He go before us, but notice what it says. He will, that's a promise. You can underline will and write out beside of it, promise, be with thee, right? Every step we take, God's with us. I call that number one, divine lookout. Number two, divine guidance. He guides our steps. You remember in the Bible where that donkey that started speaking? Anybody remember that story? I guess I'm going to have to preach on that one these days. But the guy, I think his name was Baal, if I'm not mistaken, was riding that donkey, all right? And he was trying to get it to go left, and the donkey, or go straight, and the donkey veered off is what it was. And he started beating that donkey, I mean just beating it up and down. All of a sudden, God sent an angel down and said, "That's enough." When God opened Balaam's eyes, he saw a band in front of him. That the donkey, God had opened the donkey's eyes, and he was just deterring him from trouble, staying away from the hard times. How many know God detours us from trouble? How many know tonight that God steers us away from it? But sometimes our hard heads won't let us, and we go head on into trouble. And then we go to blaming God when He was trying to steer us from it. We kept on going, and we said, "God, why did you put me here?" And the whole time it was us being so hard-headed, we didn't want to listen to God. How many know what I'm talking about? Folks, I'm here to tell you, we have a divine lookout. We have a divine guidance. But now notice the rest of the verse. It says, "He will not fail thee." What do I see right there? Number one, He's a divine lookout. Number two, He has divine guidance. Number three, there is divine assurance. I'm so thankful for assurance about my salvation tonight. You know, I thought many times, and we spoke about this not long ago, a lot of times the devil will aggravate you and try to get you to where, "Oh, you ain't saved, go ahead and do this, that, and the other." He'll try to aggravate you. He'll try to detour you. He will try to do all these things to you. But how many know that we serve a God tonight that says, "I will not fail you"? And I assure you, if you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ tonight, the Bible says we can know beyond any shadow of a doubt, beyond any measure, beyond any thoughts or any failures, that God said, "If you'll just give me your heart, you'll be an eternity with me." Mm-mm. Assurance. How many's got blessed assurance tonight? Remember the old song, "Blessed Assurance"? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Boy, I'm so thankful tonight for blessed assurance. It says, "He will not fail thee." Amen. Now watch this. Not only He won't fail you because of that assurance, but it says, "Neither forsake thee." You say, "What does that mean, preacher?" I believe that means divine possession. He's not going to say, "No, you're not mine and you are His." He's going to look in the book and see where Jesus' precious blood, when He took that blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat, and His Father said, "I accept that as an atonement for the sin. They don't no longer have to go out and kill a lamb or a goat, but I'm going to take my precious Son's blood and I'm going to cleanse these people. All they've got to do is ask." But praise God, once you ask and He comes into your heart and life and He saves you, you've got divine possession. He's yours and I'm His. Amen. Praise God. Ain't nothing going to take that away. Nothing going to take salvation away from us tonight. Divine possession. That's number one, our today. Number two, our yesterday. Number three, our future. Number four, our habits. Thank God I'm saved tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look with me, if you will, at verse 4. Now watch this now. Watch. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. God to the pulling down of the strongholds, casting down the imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You say, what does all that mean, preacher? Number one, God promises freedom from worldly habits. God promises freedom from worldly habits. I've seen many people God takes and uses. I've seen Him take an old drunkard and be one of the best preachers you'll ever sit under. I've seen Him take drug addicts and make them some of the best singers that you'll ever hear. I've seen Him take old, sorry, low-down, dirty, filthy, rotten people and make some of the best Christians you'll ever see. Aren't you glad tonight that our habits are in Christ? He said, I'll take every one of them and move them. Worldly dependence is now heavenly dependence. You see, those that used to, and I praise God every day of my life, I never got caught up in drugs and alcohol. Thank God for that. I appreciate God for that. Even when I was lost, I didn't get caught up in none of that. Thank you, Lord. I praise Him for that. But there's people that's ruined their lives because of that. They have literally lost everything they had just to get one more drink out of a bottle. I don't know if some of you here might and might not, but I'm going to give you something here I hope is going to help you. There's people that spend every dime they had to get one more high. They've spent every dime they had to get one more sip of alcohol. And there are people that spend their money on this gambling garbage that wrecks homes across America. I know that ain't popular with a lot of people, but I'm here to tell you tonight, God never promised us that if we would gamble, He would bless. Amen. And you can put that in your pocket and carry it home with you and stew over it later. Amen. But I believe that we are to give our tithes and offerings to God and let Him do the blessing instead of the world doing the blessing. That's the way I see it. Now, that's my opinion, you know, and I'm entitled to that. You are entitled to yours. That's all right. To him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. Can't argue with that, though, can you? Our worldly dependence, when you get saved, should be heavenly dependence. Last of all, and I'm done. Psalms chapter 38 and verse 15. Our today, our yesterday, our future, our habits, and number 5, our hope. Our hope. Psalms chapter 38 and verse 15. For in Thee, O Lord, watch this, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord my God, my. How many know hope is something you also depend on? My hope is in Jesus. I hope yours is. You say, why is your hope in Jesus, preacher? Because I solely depend on Him. I want you to keep a hold of that tonight. Look at that verse one more time. It says, for in Thee, O Lord, Number one, my focus. My hope has a focus. And my focus is on Jesus. If you ever get your eyes off the preacher, get your eyes off the world, and get your eyes on God, you will see things in a different way. So many people's always trying to find some little something wrong with everything and everybody nowadays. How many know it's not our job to judge, it's God's job? He's the only one on the throne. Leave it to Him to do the judging. Amen. Not only in Thee, O Lord, my hope has a focus. And notice the rest of it. It says, Thou wilt hear. Now watch this. You say, what does that mean, preacher? That means my hope has confidence. I got confidence when I pray, the Lord hears me. When He hears me, He's going to answer me. Now, it might not be right now. It might not be tomorrow. It might not be next week. But I guarantee you one thing, He's going to answer my prayer. I've had people come up to me in the death of a loved one and say these words to me, Pastor, I prayed for him that God would heal him. Why didn't God answer my prayer? I said, He did. He's got a new body. He's healed completely now. He does answer prayer. Amen. That's where our confidence should be. Our confidence should be in God. Then it says, Oh, my Lord, last of all, my hope is living. My hope is living. It's not dead tonight. My hope ain't in something that's dead. You see, it takes a tree to make this wood stuff all around us, but that tree dies. Eventually it'll rot. How many know? Well, my Savior died, but praise God, He arose. Alive now more than ever. Because He holds the keys of death, hell, and the grave. My hope's in something that is alive tonight. Oh Lord, underline that next word, my God. He's mine tonight. How many's glad you're born again? You know what? Because we're born again, we can go through today. We can praise God for yesterday. We can thank God for the future. We can thank God for our habits that used to be there and it's no longer there. Praise God. And then last of all, we can thank Him being born again. Our hope is now not in the world, not in the bottom of a bottle or the back of a dollar bill. And you know, people live for that almighty dollar and nothing else. But thank God our hope, because we're born again, is in the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Amen. I hope tonight that the joy of being born again comes back. Folks, if we ever get back to being happy we're saved, you're going to see revival break out. You won't have to have no crusade. You can just come to church. Huh? You can just show up at church and say, boy, we got a crusade. Amen. Amen. But you got to be happy you're born again. All hearts clear tonight. Anybody got a word before we go? All right, let's all...